grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't mean to turn my back on you, but if I turn too far this way, the wind... I'm trying to protect the mic. It's under my shirt, but it just doesn't... It still picks it up. So, Russ, don't take it personally. Well, maybe... Never mind. As I mentioned, we're looking at the parable of the rich fool today from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12. I just wanted to highlight this verse again. I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Do you know someone or have you met people that just seem to be successful at whatever they do? Like, they're just good at making money. You know, whatever they turn their hand to, it just, it turns to success and has intrinsic value. It's just what they do. I went to grade school with a kid. He was a few years older than I was, but when he graduated from high school at the age of 18, he opened his first business. It was a little novelty store in a hole-in-the-wall shop. It was just, you know, gimmicky things and knickknacks and toys and just fun things. And now, almost 40 years later, that little novelty shop has become an entertainment business, which includes a pizzeria, a bowling alley, and an 81,000 square foot indoor family entertainment center with bumper cars and miniature golf and all kinds of fun things. It's a place where thousands of kids every year have their birthday parties. And as you can imagine, the guy is worth millions with this. Now, I don't know the guy in our parable for today. You know, when you hear a story like that of somebody who has millions and has this great business built up, do you kind of think to yourself, boy, that would be nice? The millions, not all the hard work. I'm not sure about our guy in the parable today. He does seem to be less of the time and effort kind of guy and really more of a beneficiary of circumstance kind of guy. I mean, he had to plant the seed. He had the land. But this bumper crop that came in really surprised him. I mean, he had this huge blessing that just kind of gets dropped into his lap. And he says, he's thinking to himself, what will I do because I do not have anywhere to store my crops? He said, this is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. What a predicament, huh? You want to have his problems? So much stuff that you have to rent out several storage places just to take care of your stuff. I don't know. It sounds kind of nice. I mean, it's after all, you and I, we'd probably handle it a lot better than he would, right? Yeah, I don't know. But let me ask you, where did the problem start for this guy? I mean, Jesus is telling this parable because he's giving a good example of a bad example. I'll let you in on a secret. It's never good when the Lord Almighty calls you a fool. So where did he go wrong? Was it in having a bumper crop? Was it the bigger barns? Was it the enjoyment of blessings? Was it retirement instead of continuing to work? Again, he said, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Was it really in the stuff that the problem lay? I think to better understand this, you kind of have to look at the whole context. So we talked several weeks ago about how after Jesus' transfiguration on the Mount, Luke tells us that he firmly set his face toward Jerusalem. And so he is traveling towards Jerusalem, and the culmination is the events of Holy Week. Palm Sunday, walking into Jerusalem, the Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, and the Easter Resurrection. That is at the end of this journey that he is on. And so he is determined to make good use of the time that he has left with his disciples as they make their way to Jerusalem. He's kind of, not desperately, but he is making every moment count with them. The problem was is that at the same time, there are all of these people that are desperate and are trying to get in contact with this guy that they look at as a wise teacher, a miraculous healer. Some probably even had some messianic possibilities in Jesus, that he might be the one. But Luke tells us that there were so many thousands gathered together that they were trampling one another just to get to Jesus. But he is undeterred. He just keeps focused on the mission, and he teaches the disciples while all these people are around. And he warns them because he knows that the time is coming when they're going to be without him visibly at their side. They're going to be out there proclaiming Christ. And so he warns them about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And he warns them that all of this kingdom talking and teaching that they're doing in private right now is going to become kingdom of God talking and teaching publicly out there in the world, and not everyone is going to receive it well. In fact, they will be persecuted because they're out there proclaiming Christ. And he says, don't fear people that can harm the body. Fear, respect, love God, who will protect you through it all. And when you're out there being persecuted, you may have thoughts of not saying anything because you don't know what to say or you don't know how to say it. And he says, don't worry. God will give you the words to say. And in the midst of all this very serious teaching, this integral instruction to the future, somebody pipes up from the back, hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Wait, what? Are you serious? I'm trying to have a serious conversation with my disciples. Well, that's what you or I would have said. But not Jesus. Jesus just rolls with it and uses it as an opportunity to focus, to again show that distinction between God's ways and man's ways. And he responds to the person who pipes up. He says to that man, he said, who appointed me to be, and I'll throw in the word there, this kind of a judge or an arbiter over you? That's not, Jesus didn't come to iron out earthly matters. But then he said to all of them, including the man, including his disciples, and including the thousands who had gathered, he said, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because a man's life is not measured by how many possessions he has. All greed. I think it's super important right here to point out that Jesus is not condemning the having of stuff. On the world stage, you and I are so richly blessed, and those blessings are from the Lord. So again, it's important to point out that Jesus is not condemning the man because he had a bumper crop. He's not even condemning the man because the man said, oh, I need to build bigger barns to hold all of this blessing from the Lord. We're going to talk about valuing heavenly treasure next week. But it's important to recognize this. The blessings are from God. In fact, if you did a study on where all the word rich comes up in the New Testament, just as many times rich comes up positively as it does negatively. In fact, as you saw at the end of this section, Jesus talks about being rich toward God and how that makes all the difference. So where did he go wrong? Well, I think we can tell right there in his conversation with himself. What does he say? He doesn't say, Lord, thank you. I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. When it came down to thanking and acknowledging and understanding the blessing that he had, who did he turn to? himself, not to the Lord. That's the issue. The issue with the rich man isn't in the situation in which he found himself. The issue with the rich man goes way back, long before the bumper crop even came in. And to kind of help us understand this a little bit better, I'm going to stick with the whole eating and drinking thing. Think of a cup. How do you get air out of a cup? You can't blow it out. Still air. You can't dump it out. Still air. You can't wipe it out. There's still air. I mean, you know this. Even in a vacuum, if you remove all the air, eventually it's just going to crush the cup and it defeats the purpose. So how do you get something out? How do you get air out of a cup? Well, I think you all know, you fill it with something else, right? Something that's heavier than the air that pushes it out. So think of your heart as that empty cup. And how do you get the air of sin out of it? How do you keep Christ in the cup of your heart? And if you try to fill that heart with all this earthly stuff, well, Solomon tried that. And what did he call all the stuff that was in his cup? Vapor. It's still air. You can try to fill it, but it's still going to be air in that cup. The only way you can fill it is with the Lord in order to be rich toward God. I find it interesting that when it comes to get rich quick schemes, we want it to be easy, right? I just want to be handed the money. I want to be a beneficiary of circumstance. The bumper crop, the inheritance, like the man called out to Jesus about. I just want to get it. But don't you find it interesting that when it comes to salvation of the human heart, the eternal salvation, that our natural inclination is to go for time and effort? To want to work at it, to earn it, to somehow do it ourselves. But when it comes to the salvation of the human heart, we are beneficiaries of circumstance. It is Jesus who in his grace blesses us with our salvation. It is Jesus who has lived that perfect life for you. It's Jesus who has sacrificed that perfect life for you. It is Jesus who forgives you. It is Jesus who rose triumphantly from the dead for you. It is Jesus who blesses you with that spirit to be able to stay focused on him and his word to empower you to live your Christian life. Not because you're trying to earn salvation, but as a way to say thank you for the gifts that God has given us, for what he has done for us in Christ. For you know, Paul writes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. How different this parable would have been if when that man had seen his bumper crop, he talked to the Lord about how to give thanks, how to give back, how to give generously. And not because it would have somehow earned him something, but because it would have been a sign that his heart was not filled with the stuff of this world, but with the love of Christ compelling him in his Christian life. And so we pray, fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. Amen.